WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! Going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No,
sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into this week two edition of Inside Ben Davis Football presented by Bear Realtor. I'm your host, Jackson White. Joining me alongside is WBDG General Manager John Easter and, of course, Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So last week, the Giants lost 33-22 versus Brownsburg. Can you, Coach, take me through what happened?
Well, you know, I think for us, when you go back and look at that game, I didn't do a good enough job making sure we were ready to go. Feel like from a coaching perspective, you know, we certainly left some things out there on the table we left some things to be desired. And so that falls squarely on my shoulders. And then, you know, as a head coach, you got to do everything you can to make sure you put your players in the best possible position to be successful. And I didn't do that on Friday. And, you know, to compound it, you know, we had four turnovers. You know, when you make those mistakes and you give away possessions, you're going to struggle to beat a good football team. And I felt like, you know, Brownsburg did a nice job using motions and shifts to try and gain an extra gap in the run game. I think defensively they did a nice job controlling the line of scrimmage and playing sound football. And so, frustrating way to start, but, you know, we certainly can't turn the ball over four times and play the way we did on offense and leave our defense in bad situations all night. You know, when you look early in the game, had two turnovers down deep in our own territory. Defense causes, you know, they cause a missed field goal on the first one. Second one, we were able to cause a fumble, pick it up, running back for a touchdown. So you look up at the end of the first quarter and we're in the game and it's like we have no business being in this game, you know. But that was our defense doing some good things after that first drive. And so, you know, they battled, they hung in there, and, you know, we turned it over two more times and really just couldn't overcome it, you know, and gave them a short field and they were able to capitalize on it. And there's a lot of hidden yardage factors in there too. You look at average starting field position. Their average starting field position was 18 yards better than ours. You know, they started on average, they started their offensive possessions at the minus 46 yard line. We started at the minus 28. So that in and of itself is just two first downs. And now when you talk about two first downs, you're talking about ball control. You're talking about your defense having a chance to be rested, talking about field position. So there were a lot of things when you turn the tape on Friday night and Saturday, there's a lot of things that you could look at that tape and identify as correctable mistakes. And that's where our focus turned to Saturday into Sunday as a coaching staff. And, you know, rolling out the practice here this week early in the week is having that short list per position group where we got to grow up and get better and we got to do things in terms of execution and performance. We got to get better. And so far you would like to, you know, we were talking before we went on air, you'd like to be able to have a normal week at some point here, but so far this one isn't shaping up to be normal either. And so, you know, you got to be able to ebb and flow with whatever the circumstances are, and you got to trust your maturity and trust your senior leadership. And that's where we're at. You know, our coaches got to do a good job emphasizing the small detailed oriented things that could lead us to having success. I think on top of that, our senior leadership has to step up here and help carry this thing as we ebb and flow through the week.
Coach, the last few years, last 3 years, you opened up with a loss to start the year. So once again, unfortunately, it happened. As you look at the progression that your team has made over the last several years where you've had maybe the slow start and then it's picked up at some point in the year, what keeps it from blossoming into a slow start that becomes a tough season?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to go answer that question. You know, I think so much of it depends on, you know, the job that I do leading our program, the job our coaches do leading their individual position groups, and identifying what it is that's going to allow us to put our players in the best possible position to be successful. And, you know, I think last year when we started 2-5, it certainly, you know, there were some layers to that, but being able to identify where our players were and get our players back and developed and those kinds of things took us a little bit of time. So it took us a while to identify the pieces to the puzzle in terms of personnel and then make sure we got them coached up and then make sure they were in a position to execute. Now I think it's a little bit different. You know, when you go back and you look at Friday and you know, we had some guys in the right spot. We didn't, whether it was alignment, whether it was technique, whether it was eye discipline, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, offensively, whether it was making sure we got movement at the point of attack, whether it was making sure that, you know, we got the ball in space where we wanted to get it, making sure it was, you know, we were reading coverage the right way. And so there's some identifiable things that we got to grow and get better at. And if we do that, now we're going to have an opportunity to compete and be successful against anybody on our schedule. And then it comes down to what's your level of preparation like going into Friday night. And if your level of preparation is correct, it's going to give you an opportunity to be in the game on Friday. And so for us, it's about making sure that we own the details in preparation here and continue to grow and get better as a football team. We have to identify those areas where we were negligent on Friday and come up with solutions that will allow us to grow. We feel like we're doing that through the first 2 days of practice this week. And then, you know, you look on special teams and how can special teams help us? You know, we had two first-time performers on special teams and Ben Rudolph and Alvin Contreras, and those two guys did a phenomenal job in their roles. And now we got to get our coverage units better. So there's a lot of layers to that answer, you know. And so for us, you know, we got to continue to control identify the areas we were negligent and control the pathways to get those things fixed and addressed as we move forward.
All right. So, Coach, I know there's pros and cons to every game. What did you like from this past Friday's game, and what did you not like?
Well, I think when you look, you know, starting on special teams, we just talked about Ben Rudolph and Alvin Contreras, both of those guys getting their first significant Friday night action. You know, we get a bad snap on punt. Alvin doesn't panic, runs it down, clears his hips, and gets off a beauty of a punt that we were able to cover and eventually down. He handled, you know, his other punting responsibilities fairly well. He was on the kickoff team as well. So, you know, I felt like he did some good things in the area of special teams, played some defensively for us. And so, you know, I think for him to get his first significant Friday night action, it was a positive night for him. And you look at what Ben Rudolph did. You know, Ben was a PAT field goal guy for us on Friday, and Roy Hernandez kicked off for us. And, you know, at the end of July, we weren't sure where our kicking situation was going to be, and certainly it was an area that we needed to get addressed in a hurry. And those two guys have been extremely coachable. They've been selfless. You know, they've done whatever we've asked them to do, and they work hard every day with Coach Douglas at practice. And so, you know, certainly in the area of special teams, those guys stood out. Had two first-time snappers. And you know, obviously we sailed one, but other than that, we were pretty consistent. So certainly feel good about, you know, the progress that can be made there. When you look defensively, you know, the first guy that stood out on tape to me was Myron Green up front. Felt like Myron had as good a game as he's had wearing the Ben Davis uniform, and you know, I was excited for him because he's had a really good off season. He's put himself in a position to come out and explode here, and he did that early in the year. You know, he answered the bell week one, played a good football game, and certainly gave us an opportunity. Keoki Toomer did a nice job at the Mike backer spot. Got to slow him down a little bit, but all in all, he played like he normally plays, and, you know, that's a workman-like, lunch pail-type effort, and he's a daggone good football player. And then you look at Elijah Marks. He got a second career start Friday and played well. I thought he played well in the secondary for us. So those three guys stood out to me. Dylan Moore, you know, obviously is a guy that we expect big things from week in and week out, and he did some really good things defensively as well. So you know, you look at guys that you know, make this play or make that play. They're guys that were making their first Friday night start or their first meaningful Friday night experience. And And so you look, and it's like, okay, first Friday night experience, it's downtown in Lucas Oil. There's some growing pains there, you know, but there's certainly things that we can build from and grow from. And I think when you look offensively, Dylan, obviously, you know, when you look statistically, had a really good night. You know, we had two other receivers, Brady Simmons and Marcus Reese, both making their first career starts, and both of them did a nice job on the perimeter for us. And we had some good offensive line play in spots. I think when you look, Cameron Davenport, Mati Sidibe, both played fairly well. Amari Phillips got his first varsity start and did okay. So, you know, there's certainly some positives in there. It's not all doom and gloom, but, you know, we got to continue to grow and get better because, you know, our schedule doesn't lend it to say, you know, yeah, let's go pat ourselves on the back for a week. We certainly can't do that. Mm-hmm.
As you you kind of alluded to it there, Coach, my question, I don't know if you anticipated what I was going to ask, but Lucas Oil Stadium, you know, you've seen the scene in Hoosiers where Norman Dale measures the basket, and, you know, it's 10 feet tall. Well, actually, it's not Norman, but the players measure, you know, the basket 10 feet tall, same as our gym in Hickory. How different is it playing a game at Lucas Oil for guys that haven't really played there before?
Well, yeah, I think there's some variables that you got to take into account. Yeah, and we were pretty detailed in our pregame to be able to try and address some of the – I think the big thing is you got to get your kick returners, punt returners, and wide receivers as many touches as you can. And if you're the first game, you get a full warm-up. If you're the second game, you get 20 minutes. You know, and that's the nature of the beast. And you got two choices. You can either complain about it or put a plan in place to go nail it. And, you know, our players, we felt like we had our players prepared for it. The nice thing about our coaching staff is the veterans on our coaching staff, whether it's Justin Ferris, whether it's Mark Zachary, Mike Malone, Coach Vanderbush, Coach Douglas has been there before. So we had enough guys on our coaching staff that have been there before that could talk to our players about this is what you need to expect, this is what's going to happen, this is what it's going to look like. And so we felt like, you know, I tried to identify those key position groups that needed to get a lot of touches because the background's different. You know, whether it's the quarterbacks or whether it's the wide receivers, that depth perception comes into play. For the state finals, they give you an opportunity to go downtown and practice. For this one, you know, they tell you to show up, here's your timeline, and we're going to cut you loose and let you rock and roll. And, you know, it was a great experience for our program. It was a great experience for our kids. I think every one of them would tell you to a man that it was great to go play down there. The outcome certainly not what we wanted.
So that will basically wrap up our first segment of here of Inside Ben Davis Football. Next up, we will talk about the Giants taking on Avon this Friday night. This is Inside Ben Davis Football presented by Bear Realtor.
When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. I'm Jackson White. Joining me is WPD General Manager John Easter, and of course, head coach of your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons. So, Coach, I bet you have seen the Avon loss versus Lawrence North. What are your takeaways from that game?
Yeah, you know, we had the opportunity to watch Avon scrimmage against Center Grove and then watch their week one game against Lawrence North. And you look at that game and you look at how competitive both teams were in that game. And, you know, I felt like it was a physical game. It was, you know, it was good 6A football. I thought both teams did some good things. Both teams looked like it was week one. Avon was in the game, had the lead up until the last minute of the game. Lawrence North scored there late to end up pulling that one out. And, you know, I think what it told me was, you know, we had heard all summer about how fast Lawrence North was, and they never really got loose or got behind Avon. And so I think when you look at what Avon's doing defensively right now, they have some good skill in the secondary. They're fundamentally sound. Their linebacker level is young, which tells you that they're going to get better every week. So what we saw on film, you can take it up a level. You know, they're going to be a little bit better. And you look at their defensive line. Their defensive line gets off the ball. They play with their hands well. They're extremely well coached. They're an aggressive bunch that has a good takeoff and that gets to the football well. They play disciplined football. And so, you know, I think they're always going to be sound when you look at what Coach Bombi does and you look at the defensive staff at Avon. They always have a good plan. They're always fundamentally sound and they play hard. And so, you know, we know what we're getting into in that regard. You look at them offensively, and you know, anytime you lose an anchor of an offensive lineman like Blake Fisher, your offensive line's going to look different. You know, when you lose the starting left tackle at Notre Dame as a true freshman, it's going to look a little different. They're extremely well coached. Their offensive line coach does a really good job, and you can see the five of them playing together. You know, they're certainly not as good as they're going to be, but they're still a physical group that's very assignment sound, and they don't beat themselves up front. And so, you know, we're going to have to do some things to win the line of scrimmage. I think that's going to be important on Friday. They have a quarterback back that I say back. He started one game a year ago, and you know, when word broke that Henry Hessen wasn't going to start the sectional game against Brownsburg, I don't think anybody gave him a shot. And Mason Reynolds, as a freshman, stepped in and threw for 300 yards, and you know, almost found a way to win this thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's a daggone good quarterback. You know, he's a good kid, but you know, he put the state of Indiana on notice a year ago when he stepped in that sectional game against Brownsburg and really gave his football team a shot. And so he's a guy that's going to be a problem for a long time for people. If he stays healthy and is a 3-year starter, people are going to have their hands full defending him. And they have some talented skill kids on the perimeter. You know, they have number two, McCray, is a talented athlete. He's committed to Kent State right now. He's played some tailback. He's played wide receiver. You have to know where he's at in the formation. He can fly. He can make you miss in a phone booth. And so he's electric. And so we have to make sure we know where he's at. And Leighton Moore is another player that they play on both sides of the ball, skill player. So we got to be alert to those two guys in addition to making sure that we try and create some confusion and try and win the line of scrimmage to get the quarterback off a spot.
That's a good one, missing a phone booth. Although I'm thinking more and more that there aren't many phone booths around, so...
No, if you find one and you can get him in one, you better keep him there because he'll find a way to get out. He's a good player. He's fun to watch, you know, fun to watch on tape because he can make some people miss, and it doesn't take him long to get the full speed.
Well, you know, you mentioned Reynolds, the quarterback. Avon's a bit of a quarterback factory with what Coach Bless has done. What do they do to develop their players so well at that position?
Well, I think when you look at the quarterback position, they not only have they had the ones that have played for them, you know, there's been quarterbacks in their system coming through that have transferred out and played other places. And, you know, I think some of it is, you know, some of it is just the good Lord's eye for talent, if you will. And other parts of it, too, you know, I think it speaks to their coaching staff and what they do to develop them from the time that they're in the junior Oriole program or in the youth league all the way through the time they graduate and leave that program. And they have some staff consistency there for sure. They get their hands in those kids early and develop them and build relationships with them. And, you know, Mason's going to, you know, goes from Brandon Peters to young man that's at UIndy right now to Henry Hessen, to, you know, now to Mason. So, You know, they've certainly had a line of them here. And, you know, I think it just speaks to the program that they have and the program they operate and being able to identify those players early and keeping them, quite frankly.
So, Coach, talking about the quarterback and Mason Reynolds, he had himself a game with 219 and 3 touchdowns. How can you stop a hot quarterback like that?
Well, you better be willing to get him off a spot, you know, and, you know, so much of it right now is you got to be able to try and confuse him if you can. You know, he's a high football IQ young man. You know, I spent some time with him in the springtime because our son played on the same 7-on-7 team that he did. And so you talk to him. He's a good kid. You engage him in conversation. He understands football. You watch him, and he understands football, and he knows coverages. And so you got to try and just get him off his spot. You got to try and mix coverages. You got to try and throw his timing off. You got to try and do everything you can just to cover him up and do the best you can, you know, and you can't be satisfied with getting him to third and long. You know, you can't be satisfied until he's running off the field and the punter's running on the field. And so for us, we can't take any plays off, and we got to make sure that we're very assignment sound.
As you obviously talk about this week, the weather forecast is for extremely hot weather. Some of the hottest weather that we've had in many years. It's been very dry, of course, which as a football coach, you love it when it's dry because you don't get rainouts and things at practices and games. But as far as this string of weather, what are some of the things that you're doing differently in practice to keep players hydrated and cool?
You know, we're using it as an opportunity to build depth. You know, we got some guys that played both ways on Friday, a couple of them cramped up, you know, and so one, it gives you an opportunity to teach them about, hey, you know, take care of your body, what that looks like and when that really starts, because it doesn't start just the night before. But two, it's given us an opportunity to play a lot of different players in practice and start to build and try and develop some depth that we feel like we can get to being Friday night caliber with our schedule. And And then you just got to be calculated. You know, it's easy to say you got to be smart. Like we all feel like we're smart. You got to be intentional, and you got to be calculated about who's getting what reps and what do they actually need. And that goes back to identifying what it is exactly that we're chasing. You know, for this individual player, if this is his point of emphasis for the week, then we need to make sure his reps are centered around this. You know, for this player, his points of emphasis may be a little bit different. Get him the work that he needs and make sure that we keep him fresh enough that they get to the starting gate on Friday and give us a chance. Because if you smoke them out during the week of practice and they don't get to the starting gate feeling as fresh as they can, then really you've just done that player a disservice and you've done your football team a disservice as the head coach. So there's, you know, I talk about it all the time in staff meetings. There's a fine line between tough and stupid. I learned that as a young coach for a guy that I worked for. He used that line, and that line's never left me. And we got to make sure that we're smart. We got to make sure we practice the Ben Davis way. We got to make sure we get our guys to the starting gate. And so everything we do has to be centered around those three things. And those three things allow us to keep the player's individual best needs in mind. It also keeps the needs of our football team at the forefront of our minds as well.
So, Coach, last Friday night, your running game was a little bit lackluster, to say the least, besides a 25-yard run by Dustin Beauchamp. So how can you guys try to improve that running game this Friday night against Avon?
Well, so much in the run game, when you look at our system and you operate our system, so much of the run game is about space and angles. And we didn't do a very good job putting our guys in the best possible position to be successful. And then to compound that, we had some schematic errors. And, you know, one, we can address the schematic errors and fix those immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Those are things that we got to do a better job of throughout the week, making sure our guys understand what the expectations are per the scheme that we're running. But then, two, you know, we have to identify it in real time as a coaching staff. If there's something that's fixable, we got to go get it fixed, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned the 25-yard run by Beauchamp. Did a really good job of just splitting the seam. And we did a very good job executing up front, right? And so space and angles, we got it. We got our tailback in space. We had good angles on our offensive line. And so we got to continue to work as a coaching staff to get that done. And we got to make sure the right pieces are in the right place, you know. And We played seven guys up there Friday, in the first three quarters. We subbed out late, but we played seven guys up there Friday, and you know, for us it's a continual evaluation piece, and you know, we owe it to our football team to play the best five guys up there, best six or best seven, and we're going to continue to do that. And you know, we understand the need to get the run game going, and so much of it's about space and angles and making a commitment to getting better.
As you look at this series between Avon and Ben Davis, it's 10-5 overall. Avon has now won the last three in the series, and I know that there's maybe desire to turn that around, obviously, and get it back going the other way. But what will fans be looking for on Friday night to see that the team has made growth from what happened last week?
Yeah, one, I think our football team's excited to play at home. We're excited about the opportunity, and we're looking forward to the Wayne Township community coming out and supporting this group. You know, they've earned it, you know, and it's hard to say that if you don't know the kids and you don't see the work they put in, day out, and you didn't see the off-season work that they put in, and you're not around them every day. But it's a great group of kids that we hope the Wayne Township community is going to show up and support, for one. Two, you know, they're hopefully people are going to be able to identify a couple of things pretty quickly. One, you know, is how aggressive we're going to play on special teams. You know, we do got to do a better job covering kicks, and we've identified some personnel that we think can help us do that. Two, you know, I think from an offensive standpoint, can we go get in a rhythm? Can we get in a rhythm and get first downs and then turn first downs and turn first downs into touchdowns? And having a first down mentality will allow us to get in a rhythm. So if it looks like our offense is in a rhythm like it was 2 weeks ago against Westfield, then that's obviously a noticeable change from Friday when we didn't really get into one. And then, you know, three, it's about finishing plays defensively, really the Ben Davis way. And, you know, there were opportunities on Friday for us to go make plays. And those guys that were getting that first varsity experience, we're expecting that to be behind them so they can cut it loose and go make those plays, and we can start to build some confidence and depth in them.
So, Coach, before we wrap this up, we want to know your final thoughts and anything you want to say to Purple Rain.
Yeah, you know, I know our student leadership in Purple Rain is doing an outstanding job. They've been on the announcements here at school. They're walking the halls trying to generate some buzz and generate some enthusiasm. And, you know, when you get a school of 4,000 like we have, it's a great opportunity for students to go have something to do on Friday night. And, you know, I think that's the big thing for the low cost of what a ticket is. You can buy it online right now. For the opportunity to go show up and support your classmates and support the people you walk the halls with, it's a heck of an opportunity. You know, you look at a school of 4,000 kids and I want our players to be supported, because I know they're good kids. I know the work they've put in, and I know what this community can be and can do. And, you know, we certainly want Purple Rain to lead the charge in the school building and then get the rest of the community out here supporting our players.
And that will basically wrap up today's show of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. So thank you to Coach Simmons for joining us tonight. Do not forget to tune in this Friday starting at 6 for the Ben Davis football team taking on Avon. I'll be joined by Owen Pooley. I'll be calling the game as the Giants take on Avon at home. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.